This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys here on a football Friday, going three wide. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSIN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and of course, a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Gentlemen, this Football Friday, before we get into last night's game and set the table, congratulations to you guys here at Circa, Mike Palm. Going to have and announce some big news here.
I'm waiting for Jeff Benson to send a video of us taking our first bet in Illinois. The little general, he's there on the scene. Gene Mock of Circa Sports.
There we go.
So they're having a little ceremony, American Place, where we're located in Waukegan, which is a full house resort. Having a little ceremony now. A soft opening this morning. And then Derek and I and a lot of the crew will be in Chicago and in Waukegan next week. We fly out Monday. The official grand opening will be Wednesday afternoon. Brian Urlacher will be there for that.
Nice.
We're going to throw some parties at some different bars Tuesday in the Chicago Loop area. Watch some wild card playoff games.
Are the Cubs going to be there?
It'd be nice. Now, if the Cubs lead the Marlins by half a game, they got to go back to New York, where they're underwater there in New York, and try to replay that game. That's a really interesting betting and grading situation. Yeah. But if the Cubs are up a half game, then the Marlins have to go play that game. That's the only other way. I mean, the Marlins own the tiebreaker. So if they're up a half or more, they won't have to play it. It would be amazing if we could get Cubs Brewers. That would be the 6-3 matchup.
There you go.
You know, Waukegan, our home base, is less than an hour from Milwaukee.
Right.
That's in the northern part of Illinois there. So, and then I'll stay on Thursday, and we'll throw a watch party for the Thursday night game, which features your Bears and Justin Fields and Landover against the Commanders.
Yeah, I got some kinfolk up in Chicago and Milwaukee areas, so look out for the Pritchards.
There we go.
Are they as sharp as you are?
No. Recreational.
I want a note to your opening. It's a great day to be alive in Survivor, which our friend Mike Pritchard.
You are alive.
Is still alive.
Hell yeah, Pritch. Let's go. The Lombardi Line.
This week's tough, though.
This week, because I got knocked out in week two. Stormy got knocked out last week. So the Lombardi Line, we need somebody to stay alive in this thing. We're all looking at you, Pritch. You're carrying the torch here for us.
Well, just mapping it out a little bit over the weekend. And it's just like, man, you know, Detroit is playable, I think. And we'll get into what they did last night. But, you know, you're thinking about, and I didn't want to do that. That's why I used Kansas City already. And then you think about wanting to get to Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And so I'm starting to think that way. I'm starting to map it out a little bit that way.
You, like half the entries that are left, used the Chiefs last week. Which means you got to save the Eagles for Christmas, right, against the Giants. So you're off. You can't use the Eagles. You'd have to take that stance.
You can use the Niners.
It's tough. I think that's a tougher game.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. What's interesting is, and Paulie brought this point up on Follow the Money this morning, you know, people can start using the Cowboys now in spots if you think Detroit might be the better play. I mean, they made them look silly for a half at Lambeau on a short week, and then they get them at home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, I thinking about that right now. I mean, the 49ers are on Christmas Day at home. And then the 49ers are on the road, certainly Thanksgiving. But, 49ers, it could be one of those situations.
Are you looking at them this week? I think 70% of the field will be on the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. I mean, I have to. I mean, the Eagles, I want to save the Eagles. And certainly, like I said, I was happy with what we saw last night with Detroit because I think they're playable on Thanksgiving.
Well, how about this? How about playing your former team, the Denver Broncos? Speaking of the Illinois-Chicago reference here, how about fading the Bears this Sunday and holding your nose?
If I had more than one, then maybe. I mean, that's some interesting thinking, but with just one... With one ticket, with one golden ticket, I don't know if I'm going to look at the Broncos that way.
Yeah, the 3-point favorites, 3.5 in some spots.
How can you play an 0-3 team on the road, though?
Because they're playing an 0-3 team.
Yeah.
A worse 0-3 team.
Bears look like the worst team in the league by far.
To think that they thought in Denver they should have drafted Justin Fields, too.
Yeah.
There are some people out there that thought they should have did that.
I think for the people who didn't... used Kansas City last week and got through. A guy that's a friend of mine that's a radio host in Iowa got through with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, nice. So he has some flexibility. Do you look at the Eagles this week if you didn't use Kansas City at home against the Commanders? I think that mm-hmm. is an... There may not be. You know, we saw 30 teams picked and 28 teams. I mean, this week will probably be less than 10 teams, I would think, yeah. unless people have multiple entries right. and do Derek's double option and play Denver and Chicago in the same game just to keep advancing. Just
keep advancing.
How many yeah. entries did we have heading into last night?
22 and change. Well, yeah. it was 12. 22.90-something.
Okay.
Because 12... It was 49.8% had Kansas City right. to advance. Right. Right? I mean, it's so exactly half yeah. the field.
Yeah. Talk about but a no sweat.
We talk yeah. about the carnage and everybody's reacting to the bloody Sunday and Jacksonville and Baltimore and
yeah, Jags did it again.
Yeah, again yeah. and they did. And Dallas.
And Dallas.
But mm-hmm. through 3 weeks last year, 74.7% of the entries were out. This year we're at 73.2%. And then last year we went 7 weeks. From week 4 to week 10, where we lost less than 100
yeah.
combined. Mm-hmm. There was the era of tranquility right. for this. So maybe we'll see that again this
I think
year,
so.
That
I
pattern.
Think so.
For yeah. your sake, you hope so.
Well, I hope so, absolutely.
Smooth sailing is what we're hoping for in Survivor. Yeah. But I mean, with 2,000 plus still left in it, I think I would still get frisky, but I'm also out. I've been knocked out. So maybe you shouldn't take advice from me as it pertains to Survivor. Although we got to week 5 last year. Put that in my bio. We'll hang the okay. banner for that one. But this is the Lombardi Line. We're hanging out here. We'll talk more contest stuff a little bit later on, but let's set the table for the show that we do have coming up here. 2:15 Eastern, 11:15 West Coast time. Chad Brown, Pritch's old buddy, former Colorado Buffalo, played 15 years in the NFL, who will join us. We'll ask about all the NFL games and, of course, his Colorado Buffaloes. Can they hang with USC? We will ask Chad coming up in hour number 2. But, gentlemen, we hinted at it. Let's break it down. Lions go into Lambeau, dominate the Green Bay Packers. This one felt like it was sort of over from the start. Detroit wins 34-20. They go ahead and cover as a short road favorite. Game flies over the total. Your guys' thoughts on what we saw last night. Lions now 3-1. Packers fall to 2-2.
Well, the most significant thing to me is how lost Jordan Love was in the first half of that game. Here's a guy that's followed the Packer formula of being an understudy under a great quarterback, ready to step in. He just, the timing of the game, he's holding the ball so long, mm-hmm. Rich. I don't know how his read progression are. You're probably better to speak about that, watching his eyes and watching his head. But I thought it was a really disappointing night if you're a Packers fan about their future.
Yeah, I mean... one step forward and two step backwards for Jordan Love. You know, incredible comeback a week ago. And then this week, it's that young player syndrome. And I alluded to it a little bit, Micah and Femi, about when you're a quarterback and you're a young quarterback and you start to feel it. You start to say, oh, I got this now. Mm-hmm. And then you get humbled because you don't have it. You never do. You always have to evolve. Tom Brady was evolving until he retired. Yeah. The thing about Jordan Love, if you watched him, his habits are so... It's horrible. The back foot stuff, the drifting while he's throwing, the slots. And it's like, LaFleur, what are you not correcting? Why are you letting that slip? And then it goes throughout the entire roster because the entire team is not disciplined. And so the lack of tackling, broken assignments, boneheaded plays, over jumping and giving the ball on the field goal. I mean, yeah. it's the lack of discipline that leads me to believe that LaFleur is not doing a great job with that team right now. They're talented. You can see that on paper. They're talented. Now, on the other side, Detroit's starting to put it together. Detroit's starting to play with confidence. Detroit's running the damn football, too.
Yeah.
And that thing right there, when you can run a football, you can overcome mistakes, early mistakes like Goff made in that game.
I thought they built their team the right way
yeah.
with the offensive line. And, yep. you know, there was the great debate about, you know, Chase or Sewell, mm-hmm. right? And Cincinnati took the... And they still have issues with their offensive line. They still have problems with Burrow getting hurt. Detroit really built this slowly through the line. I mean, Goff's sort of been the perfect quarterback for them. Mm-hmm. He makes the throws you expect him to make. I mean, he was so flat-footed on that interception to enter the game. I mean, he had nothing to the ball. Right. And he's the ball guy that drives the ball. That's mm-hmm. that's how he throws the ball. Mm-hmm. But when you have the ability to run the ball and line up and run the ball, that creates so many yeah. options for your quarterback. And you know, I find myself like rooting for this team because they're like they're doing it the right. See how many Packers or Lions fans there were.
All Honolulu Blue.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it was Honolulu Blue.
We had a Let's Go Lions chant.
Yeah,
it was crazy. A Let's Go Lions chant at Lambeau Field. Watching football for almost 30 years, I've never seen that.
Right.
And it speaks to what this Lions team has been about. But I want to put the Lions off to the side. We'll have enough time to heap praise on them. I want to go back to Pritch's point about the Green Bay Packers here, saying that it didn't look like they knew what they were doing across the board. Well, after the game, head coach Matt LaFleur was asked about it by the media, and things got a little testy.
What do you think happens when you have to cause a first half like that, where you couldn't get nothing?
I mean, you saw it, Pete. I mean, we got our ass kicked. If I knew, it wouldn't have happened.
Matt, they didn't blitz until...
That's a BS question, man. It wasn't good enough. They whipped us. They manhandled us. Again, if I knew the answer to that, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, wait.
Very...
That's not a BS question.
It's not.
First of all.
But the answer, though, I think is really interesting and kind of concerning if you are a Green Bay Packers backer season long or a fan of the team. He said, I don't know why we got our asses kicked, but we got our I don't think you want to hear that from the head coach sitting there at the podium. Like, is that what you want to hear? Like, you want to at least have some sort of solution.
Well, I mean, I think it's great insight in terms of what he's looking at. If you're a coach, a head coach who's a play caller, you're looking at scheme and you're looking at lack of execution. But you're not looking at lack of discipline. You're not looking at poor technique. You're not looking at all the finer details that's going to make you better. So the fact that he said, I don't know why, that's on him. Mm-hmm. You better find out why. I mean, you should know why. And it was a great question, to be honest with you, because to me as a better, that gave me so much insight to Matt LaFleur right now as a coach.
Yeah.
And yet in the NFC, this team is still in the wild card picture.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, you Minnesota struggling, the Bears are awful, and in this mix in the NFC of who are the wild card teams, they're still right there at 2-2.
Yeah.
Can he make them any better, though?
Right.
Is he the right guy?
Can he get better? That's the biggest question, right? Yeah.
He better figure out what went wrong. Otherwise, it's going to continue to go wrong for the Green Bay Packers. We'll ask the Detroit questions on the other side. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 40% off our football season special when you use promo code Lombardi. Get access to everything we do this football season, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use promo code Lombardi to save 40% when you sign up on a football season special today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You would be a fool not to take advantage. Once again, 40% off, and it has to be promo code Lombardi. That's the only way you get the deal. So promo code Lombardi, get 40% off on our football season special. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And let's continue our analysis on last night's Thursday night football game. Lions beat the Packers 34-20. Get this, the Lions, under head coach Dan Campbell, are now 26-12 against the spread. That is 68% cover rate. They've also now won six straight division games dating back to last season, tied for their longest division win streak in the Super Bowl era. And my question is this, despite all of the hype and all of the kind of just positive vibes around this Lions team, do you think that the betting market is still underrating the roar that has been restored in Motown?
Well, I think you'd have to define what you mean by underrating, Femi. From a Super Bowl perspective?
From a division perspective.
Well, they made them the favorites to win the division.
There were plus money.
Yes. There was a lot of uncertainty in that division, right? Mm-hmm. New quarterback. The Vikings had won a million coin flip games last year, and so I thought that was about the right price. Here's what my question is. I think clearly everyone agrees that 1 and 1A are the 49ers and the Eagles and the NFC. Who is that team 3 right now? With the body of evidence we have, week 3 plus 1 game. I would say not Seattle. I don't think it's Seattle. No. They were, but is it the Cowboys or is it the Lions?
Mm. Pritch, well, you answer I first. Mean, you know, I'm obviously biased, but Pritch,
because Seattle thoughts? Beat Detroit, so they it's do. Like, I mean, Detroit. Detroit has a tremendous amount of upside, in my opinion, though, because what Aaron Glenn has done defensively. Okay, here's a contrast from last year. He was so aggressive. He's a former defensive back. I took him deep a couple of times. I know, his mentality. But as a defensive back, he wants to blitz. He wants to cover man coverage on the outside and expose people. And that's what happened to them last year. Gave up a lot of points. If you look at them this year, they're controlling the line of scrimmage with the front. and he's playing softer on the back end. And so he's more conservative. Therefore, he's allowing Hutchinson and all these other guys to get there and wreak havoc on offenses. So you combine that complimentary football with running the football, I think Detroit has a tremendous amount of upside. Dallas might have exposed himself already. I look at this team and how talented they are, but where else are they going to go? Is Dak Prescott going to evolve in this offense? He didn't look like he could against the Cardinals, right, when they needed him to. But can he evolve? If that's the case, then yeah, there's some upside and there's some things that work out. So I'm looking at it at like that. I mean, Miami, we're going there. They're a consistent team. The other consistent team is 49ers. The 49ers will play like this, and they'll get better. But Detroit, to me, is that team that has a chance to keep evolving and getting better each and every week.
Which team, Pritch, do you think has a better chance to go to San Francisco or go to Philadelphia and win on the road in the playoffs? Because you're going to have to do
out
that.
Of those teams Dallas will be or
yeah. Dallas. Well, you could pick anybody, but we're kind of talking Dallas versus Detroit, and you could throw Seattle into that mix.
Right. You know, Seattle intrigues me because they haven't even opened up.
All right, I'll let you throw Atlanta into the mix.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Atlanta.
There you go. Another one of the former teams.
Well, I know. No, I
think they have work to do. They have work to do.
They have work to do, but they can run the football.
They
and if this kid, if they can, if they can get him to throw the ball more than 8 yards down the field at some point, there could be a competitive team. Which, I think they're very much a playoff team in my mind.
Which is so crazy because they could be a Super Bowl team if Blank didn't come out and say, well, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? If you would go after Lamar Jackson, go ahead and give up 2 first-round picks. You would be a Super Bowl caliber team right now. But they didn't want to do that for whatever reason. So now they got Ritter and Heinicke. I think Heinicke is going to play at some point. I do. Mm-hmm. I think they'll get to that point with this offense, especially if Ritter is reluctant to let it rip. They're too good. They're too talented. And Arthur Smith, he's scratching his head trying to come up with ways to involve all of this talent that he has out there. But the simple solution would be to just get a quarterback who's got a gunslinger mentality like Heinicke does. And then, you know, make sure that you can rein him in and avoid the critical mistakes out there.
Yeah. Well, Arthur Smith says he doesn't care about anybody's fantasy football team. So quit complaining about Drake London and Kyle Pitts not getting the ball. I'm like, you don't need to care about people's fantasy teams. You need to care about your own team because those guys are good players.
Right.
So you should try to get those guys the football in order to win games. But I mean, I guess I digress. But to your point, though, Mike, is that I think I'm still not out on Dallas. And I know, full transparency, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I am not a homer by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I loved Philadelphia all of last year. That ended up being very profitable. I think Dallas just had a slip up in Arizona. And I also think that Arizona is much better than we all think as well. Like should they have ever been 11-point dogs at home? Probably not, based on how they've played in the first 3 weeks.
But to me, it's concerning you can't stop them from running the football. Yeah. Where's this great defense?
Yeah.
You could not. I mean, this was a game with few possessions, right? Mm-hmm. Dallas didn't convert in the red zone, and they couldn't stop the Cardinals from running the ball. I mean, and the game wasn't really close. Arizona had full control for 60 minutes of the game. I'm just concerned about if they can't stop teams from running the ball and you let Dobbs be comfortable the whole game. Is this defense as good as we thought it was? Because if it isn't, I don't know that their offense is good enough to go on the road in the playoffs and put up 28 points. They haven't been able to do it in the past.
Yeah, they're built to stop the pass, and they're built to get after a passer, you know, cause problems at the line.
Play with the lead.
Play with the lead, too. Yeah. But what we're witnessing in National Football League is the resurgence of the running game. As much as everybody talked about running backs are not important, the running game is vital now because of play action.
The three undefeated teams are 1, 2, and 3 in rushing.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, after 3
absolutely,
weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, a couple of years ago, everybody tried to mimic and try to duplicate what the 49ers do with the running game. Kyle Shanahan, because everybody inquired about that. That's around league circles. Well, what are the 49ers doing? If you watch the Detroit Lions, they run the football like the 49ers do. So it's fascinating to see what Dallas gets to. That's what I was talking about. Can they evolve? Can Dak Prescott evolve as well? They have the personnel. There's no question about the talent. But when you can't stop the run, extrapolate to the playoffs. What happens to Dallas? Yeah. They can't stop the run, and then they get their behinds beat.
Yeah. I mean, but the reason why I'm not as concerned about it is that they had these run defense issues last season.
Yeah.
and they still were within a possession of the 49ers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, offensively, can they go ahead and be able to move the ball? Like, I'm more concerned about Dallas about can they actually score against the Niners defense? That's more of my concern than the Cowboys defense being an issue. Like, like defenses have bad games, and we're never going to go 17-0. Like, I'm still concerned about the offense more so than the defense, but that's another discussion for another day. Maybe it's a discussion for next week when the Cowboys have to play the 49ers on Sunday Night Football, and we'll find out if they can stop the run, if we can find out if they can actually score against the Niners, because they haven't been able to do it in the playoffs in the last couple of years. Let's get to some of the news and notes, though, from around the NFL that have happened today. Big news about some quarterbacks, the first one being Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Watson has been practicing on a limited basis throughout this week here, but today he only threw two passes in early drills open to the media before heading back to the locker room. He is now listed as questionable with a right shoulder issue. Cleveland's backup Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie out of UCLA, would be in line to start if Watson can't go. The betting market has thus reacted to this news. Cleveland now down to a 1.5-point favorite. Consensus total at 39 here. So maybe it's DTR season at home against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday if Watson can't play.
Well, he got a ton of snaps in the preseason.
And he looked pretty good.
He looked good. Obviously, this is disappointing off what was clearly Watson's best game since he returned from his time away from the league. They got him moving. They got him out and using his athletic ability and more comfortable last week in a very impressive performance. I mean, if this offense can have any semblance of continuity and being able to pick up third and seven and eight, you know, when we're not able to run the ball on first and second down at times, the defense is historically great right now. Mm-hmm. They haven't allowed 10 first downs in a game yet. You know how many snaps the opponents have in the red zone through three games against Cleveland? They have exactly one. After a turnover, Pittsburgh had one snap. They took a penalty and they never had another step. The defense is incredible. And we did crown them last week. Femi and I crowned them.
Yeah, I
felt good about last week. We were wrong on Colorado, but Femi and I were right on Cleveland. Okay. You and I were right on the Colts in that game.
You guys were talking money line.
I sprinkled it. I put a fourth in my bet on the money line.
There you go.
Right? But anyhow, it's tough with a rookie quarterback in this spot. I can't back Cleveland. If I thought Deshaun was healthy, this was going to be one of my plays this week. This news makes me back off the game, actually.
DTR is a playmaker, though. I watched this kid play out here in Gorman.
Vegas kid.
He's an athlete. Outside of Deshaun throwing the ball backwards, I mean, he's been okay throwing the rock down the field. Okay. I mean, Amari.
He was much better. He was horrible the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
he's short. Every pass is short.
Right, right.
And they're on turnaround. He's short. He's not getting the ball there.
Right. But running the ball is their forte. And, you know, if you look at Baltimore, they're struggling offensively, too. I think this number is okay because it's a 3-point game either way, anyway, if Deshaun's out there or not.
How about the total? 39.5.
I'm not really good at totals. No. But I'd be inclined to under, though.
Yeah, it's a tough over when Cleveland's defense is involved. We'll continue to break this game down as other games as well when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line going three wide on a football Friday. I love these shows, man. Friday football, every time in the fall, like, you're just excited. We're almost there to the games, and we're almost there for college football because we do have four games, tonight. One of them is an actual big game in the Pac-12. Then we have a nice slate coming up on Saturday. But let's start with the game over in Boulder, in Pritch's old neck of the woods, because we have a national champion buff with us here, the one and only Mike Pritchard, our recent NFL analyst, played on the national championship Colorado Buffalo team. Last week was rough for the Buffs over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people on the social media were happy to see Dion lose and get blown out. Can they bounce back against SC right now? They are catching, I believe, 24 at home against the Trojans.
I mean, this is what I'll say about the Buffs. Obviously, they got exposed in terms of what they can't do, where they are at truly. And in terms of a program, Dion's trying to build one highly established already with Oregon and what they're doing. But Shador got introduced to the Pac-12, a highly competitive conference, nothing that he's ever seen before. He's going to have to learn and evolve, like we use that word again, in terms of how to play conference football. Same thing with the Buffs. Same thing with Sean Lewis, who's new, his offense coordinator, defense coordinator as well, Kelly. But can they do that in a week, right? Yeah. I think it's going to take some time. I do think that the Buffs will score points, though. I do think against SC that they will score some points, which makes me want to take the points in this matchup. You know, it's an early game. It's 9 o'clock. And I don't care who you are. If you're a college kid and you could try to get up and practice, if say you practice at 9 a.m., that's not playing a game. Now, you got to get up, I don't know, what, 5:30 to get into your pregame routine?
Maybe earlier.
Probably. I mean, some guys are going to have to get there early to get taped up, right? So I think maybe a slow start. I would entertain a first half situation with the Buffs and all the information or all the enthusiasm and energy that they're going to have. And maybe SC gets oiled up later on in the game. But, you know, SC will win. But it's either a first half play or, in fact, just taking the points for me in Colorado.
We saw a sluggish first half when Nebraska and Colorado kicked in Boulder at 9 Pacific, 10 local time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to talk myself into a first half under for that reason.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it's so early. Both those offenses were really, I mean, they scored late. It was 0-0, I think, still with 6 minutes to go in the half against Nebraska. And they ended up getting 13 in the last couple of minutes there, though. The only concern, of course, is the USC defense, who probably will give up 30 to everybody. I mean, they're really, it's atrocious.
Yeah.
I asked you this question, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Who had the worst Saturday last week? Was it your Buffaloes or was it the Fighting Irish?
Where are you at, Lou Holtz?
I know, right? In 10 players?
What the hell's wrong with Ryan Day?
I don't know. I would say the Buffs. I mean, I was thinking about it.
Know. Well, you lose a game you're supposed to beat Ohio State
yeah.
on your home field with the embarrassment of having 10 men.
Sure.
I mean, that's really,
for
when you
players.
Stop them on the 11-yard line, you have to win that game. I don't think you should ever, you know, the Notre Dame line on both sides of the ball played great.
Yeah.
And I asked Michael this too. I understand on second and goal with 7 seconds, Ohio State's probably going to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the worst, give them a run pass out. They want to have two plays, right? So Golden puts in the nickel safety and goes into nickel. Right. But with 3 seconds left, why are you still in nickel? When they substituted out to bring the bigger running back in, now you can substitute.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he getting out of nickel anyhow, let alone not noticing? And he's in the booth, mm-hmm. not noticing he had 10 men, not having a down lineman.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I try to think back to when you ask the question in terms of which one's worse, you know, as a player, even as a freshman, when we didn't have it going yet, we never got beat like that. I mean, comes to mind Oklahoma State. They had Thurman Thomas. They had Hartley Dykes. Oh, by the way, they had a backup running back named Barry Sanders. Mm, yeah. And they beat us down. I mean, I was like, what is going on here? You know, forget Thurman Thomas, All-American. Who is this Barry Sanders guy, right? And that was a butt-whipping. I mean, we had no shot.
They were flying high that year, Oklahoma State.
Oh, my God.
Nebraska killed them.
Yeah.
I think Nebraska shut them out that year.
Mike Gundy was the head coach now, was a quarterback. Yep. I mean, incredible. Just off of the Jimmy Johnson days, too. Yep. So they were an incredible team. And that was the only butt-whipping that, you know, and that felt, I mean, you forget about it. We had juice boxes and oranges and stuff like that on the way in the bus. We're like, forget about that game.
Chewy bars.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, was Notre Dame heartbroken? The way that they lost that game, can they overcome it? You know, that is a big question mark.
Well, that's the question. It's like, do they bounce back? Because they're a road favorite against Duke. College game day is there in Durham. It's a big atmosphere there. I'm looking at the line right now here in this game to see if what the updated number is. I don't know if you guys see it. I know I saw 5.5 earlier this week here.
Really
the Fighting Irish are the favorites. Yeah, it looks like it's still 5.5. Mm-hmm. Total's at 52.5. Yeah. You say it's a tricky spot
here. I think it's a tricky spot.
It is.
Duke's a pretty well-coached team. Riley Leonard, their quarterback, has been pretty good this
season. Yeah, they're not explosive. That's one thing. Duke's not. And I don't know how effective they'll be running the ball against Notre Dame. But I just wonder about their mental state. I mean, they got Louisville next. I mean, there's some tricky games coming up here for Notre Dame. They're still in the national championship picture. If they run the table and their lone loss is on the last play of the game against Ohio State, I mean, they're still in the picture here. So you can't say their season's over.
Oh,
but
no.
That they're going to have to not step their toe here. They're going to have to go to Clemson and win. Then they're going to have to be able to beat SC at the end of the year.
Right.
But they're still alive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were ranked, what, I think ninth in November. And we still play for the national championship. So, yeah, you just got to be around 10, 9, that area, I think, and with some pivotal games in the month of November.
Yeah, there's a lot of football to be played. And speaking about stubbing your toe, how about the potential look-ahead spots here for Red River? Because we know Texas-Oklahoma is on deck at the Cotton Bowl next Saturday. Well, the Longhorns are playing a pretty frisky Kansas team at home later on tomorrow afternoon. Texas right now a 16-point favorite, total 61.5. Should Texas be on upset alert this week, or is this a game that even the Longhorns can handle and not look ahead to the Sooners next weekend?
I wouldn't want to lay that many points in that spot, but I don't think they're going to lose. I'd be pretty surprised if they lost to Kansas.
Can't Jayhawks have an impressive you this year?
Well, they struggled at Reno. I can't get that out of my head.
It's a good point.
They struggled at Reno. I mean, Reno's got up. Idaho beat Reno by 30 in Reno. So, but look, they played life and death with Wyoming in Austin, right? Yeah. Right. Wyoming, Greg Bohl's interesting. He keeps, they play conservatively and they keep games close. And, but I'm not laying 16.5. I would lean to even taking the points here with Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, just lean. I mean, Texas, so much at stake, though. Yeah, I mean, you say a look-ahead spot is possible. But when you're a front runner like they are right now, when you are immensely talented as they are right now, too, you tend to get careful. You wonder a little bit, like, are they starting to plan for OU right now? Which, as coaches, you are. As players, you're not. You know, you got a game plan against Kansas right now. But as coaches, you want to see some stuff in a week of practice that, hey, OU's running this. Let's give us this look and see what. So you start to tinker. And I think that could happen. Every team is susceptible to that. And I don't care how good you are because you have so much at stake. So, I mean, I wouldn't lay it. And I guess agreeing with Mike in terms of the only play for me would be the right now it's just a lean for Kansas.
Yeah, it's Kansas or pass for me as well. And I mentioned how I'm a Husky fan. Be that as it may, like as a Husky fan, I have seen Steve Sarkisian coach teams. it's just something weird about this game, Texas and Kansas. I don't trust Sark. I think this one might be a little bit closer. They might be a little nervous in Austin tomorrow afternoon, but I think Texas ultimately wins it. On the flip side of that, Oklahoma hosts Iowa State. Iowa State has been a disaster this season. They've been really bad, but they're catching 20 on the road in Norman. 48.5 is the total. This is usually when Matt Campbell likes to surprise people and keep a game close.
Well, that's why I think Oklahoma will be focused here because they've struggled. The program has struggled against Iowa State through the years for whatever reason. But the quarterback, this Rocco, whatever his name is, I mean, I don't know if Oklahoma defense has been tested. I guess SMU was the best team that they played so far. But this defense looks to be as good as they've had in the last decade or so. So I think Iowa State will struggle to score here. And the Iowa State defense is not shabby. I looked at this number. I was looking to find a 49 and play this game under.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an opinion on this game. I mean, Iowa State, I know an individual who transferred and went to Iowa State was not happy with that situation. As a grad student, just so much turmoil with the program, you know, and he was a good player too, really good player. But now he's lost. Now he can't find a way. You know, the other side with OU, I mean, I look at Venables and I look at the defense, like you mentioned, Mike, and it is much improved.
Yeah.
I think when we talk about Clemson and where they, Venables was a key part of what he had.
Yeah.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball. We begin hour number two coming up next on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 50% off our football season special today when you use promo code Lombardi. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday. And joining us now is a gentleman who is very familiar with our buddy Mike Pritch here and also went ahead and played 15 years in the NFL. It's the one and only Chad Brown joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Chad, we appreciate you taking the time here this morning. And I want to start off, we'll get to the Colorado Buffaloes in a little bit. I know your buddy Pritch will ask you about that one. But I do want to start off in the NFL with a team that you used to play for, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are taking on the Houston Texans later on this weekend. Steelers are 2.5-point favorites, total 42.5. Are you liking what you're seeing through 3 weeks here with the black and gold here as they go ahead and have a tricky game on deck here in Houston?
I think you got to like, outside that 49ers open day performance, what the defense is doing. But Kenny Pickett, he's still a work in progress. Your growth as a player, typically your biggest leap becomes between your first and your second year. That's almost for every player, except the quarterback position. I think you make a personal leap in your performance as a quarterback, but defensive coordinators in your division, in your conference, and around the NFL spend time in the offseason getting the book on you. So some of the things that plagued Kenny Pickett in college when he was at Pitt, pressure up the middle, he still tries to escape out the back of the pocket, he bails too quickly, those things are still showing up for him, so that he has to find a way to answer in the chess match between himself and defensive coordinators around the league. All right, you played decently as a rookie. We studied your tape. We're now giving you some things. Now you got to grow to the next level as a player to beat these things we're bringing you. So I think it's going to be a while before Kenny Pickett gets all this figured out. So the Steelers will, I think, you know, as credit to Mike Tomlin, not have a losing season, but Kenny Pickett's still a work in progress, and I'm not sure when he's going to get it.
Yeah, I hear you, Chad, on that one. I mean, what's interesting, too, is the makeup of teams. And I know you cover the Broncos, and I'm just curious from your vantage point in terms of what's happening out there in Denver. And certainly, you know, we're looking to bet Denver, I think, or people are looking to back Denver. What's the psyche of this team? Because you're hearing from players that we're a bunch of losers. Sean Payton looks like he doesn't have credibility yet with the players in that locker room. I mean, it seems like it's in total disarray, but yet they are favorites against the Bears, who are miserable themselves. And so I just want to get your thoughts on Broncos in present day right now.
All right. So for the Broncos, Pritch, it's interesting because there's kind of a couple different messages coming out from Broncos headquarters. You know, they're trying to say the right things. This is a galvanizing moment. We've got confidence in Vance Joseph, and Vance Joseph has confidence in us. This is Justin Simmons and Patrick Surtain speaking yesterday. Yet at the same time, you know, they're acknowledging that, you know, all their friends and the family have been texting and calling them and asking if they're okay. Yes, when you get put a 70 burger put on you in the NFL, people got to check on you like you lost a family member. Like, you know, there's been a death in the family. So they're battling a couple of things. They're battling the blow to the confidence and to the ego of that loss last week. You know, they're battling the apathy of the fan base here in Denver after so many losing seasons since Peyton Manning's been under center. But regards to this game against Chicago, if you're going to look at, you know, the most critical position on the field, Russell Wilson certainly was a disappointment last year. This year, he does not appear to be the issue that is plaguing the Broncos, and he's playing at a higher level than Justin Fields. You know, Justin Fields, there was a couple of glimpses of hope last year. I think anybody who had that hope this year, their hopes have probably been dashed by the way he's played. I expect a heavy dose of the run game for Chicago to try to limit what Justin Fields does in the passing game and try to shorten this game against the Broncos. But in the end, if you're going to measure the two quarterbacks, which are generally a pretty good marker of success for an individual team, Russell Wilson is playing at a higher level than Justin Fields is. So unless the Broncos defense has a back-to-back awful performance defensively, I see the Broncos find a way to get their first victory of the season.
We're speaking with Chad Brown here, college football and NFL analyst, played 15 years in the NFL, also a two-time Pro Bowler, three-time Pro Bowler, I should say, two-time All-Pro, and played for the Colorado Buffaloes, which we will stay in the state of Colorado here, Chad, and ask you about the Colorado Buffaloes, who are hosting USC on Saturday. Big noon kickoff is there. Once again, it's a spectacle with the Buffs now taking on the USC Trojans. Well, they're 21.5-point underdogs last week, a little rough against the Oregon Ducks in Eugene. Do you think Colorado can bounce back and keep this game more competitive than what we saw last week?
This is a difficult one. This is a very, very difficult one. I think everyone saw what happened in Oregon, which was really, there was a peak at what was going to happen in that CSU game. CSU was able to run the ball against the Buffs. There were a majority of that game, they were the better offense and defensive line against the Buffaloes. It took a historic effort from Shador Sanders to pull that game out against CSU out. Now they go and play, Oregon, and now the difference in talent up front is remarkably clear. And it's clear that Oregon is far better. USC is also going to be better. Now, I got to give Coach Prime and his coaching staff a lot of credit. They have out-coached the opposite sideline coaching staff really three out of the last four games outside of Oregon. Now, will that be the case against USC and Lincoln Riley? It seems like an uphill climb. But if they do a pretty good job, I could see playing the under on this one, possibly. It's just such an unknown. How do these guys who were embarrassed against Oregon, the offensive and defensive lines, the interior for the Buffaloes, how they respond after a week of coaching? And can they get those mistakes cleaned up enough in time to put together a decent performance against USC? Caleb Williams, the quarterback for USC, the Heisman Trophy winner, he's remarkable. Shador Sanders is very good. Caleb Williams is actually remarkable. So I got USC definitely with the win, but whether the Buffs can cover remains to be seen.
Chad, I want to go back to the NFL and a big matchup in the AFC North between Baltimore and the Browns. Obviously, concerns about Deshaun Watson playing on Sunday, but I want to ask you about this Browns defense, who's been incredibly good through three games. What Jim Schwartz has done coming in here with all this talent. You played for some great defensive coordinators, including Dick LeBeau. How good is this Browns defense this year?
This Browns defense is super, super legit. That wide nine system, that's what they run out in San Francisco. So Jim Schwartz was, an early adapter of this system a few years back. It allows your edge guys and your defensive line to just get off and get upfield. I did a coaching internship in San Francisco when Robert Saleh was the DC, D'Amico Ryans was the linebacker coach. And that defensive line group in San Francisco really propels that defense forward, and similar to what they're doing right now in Cleveland. So that wide nine system attacks the offense. It cuts off the edges. It allows those defensive linemen to get penetration into the backfield, and it sets up those linebackers to clean things up and be successful. And when that defensive line is getting off the rock like that, it also makes it life a little bit easier for those defensive backs. So the Ravens will have their work cut out for them, and it's going to take a performance, a vintage-style performance from Lamar Jackson, where he makes a few incredible plays with his legs, I think, for them to get out this one with a win.
You know, Chad, I just want to build on that, too, because you know, when you look at the National Football League now, and it's so much 4-2-5, so much nickel defenses, and teams are starting to run the football. They feel like they got mismatches, whether it's personnel or formations. As a defense, a player, how difficult is it now to stop the run? I mean, you're mentioning all these different schemes. I mean, are you noticing defenses trying to catch up and trying to stop the run now?
I think defensive coordinators are trying to figure out the best way to handle the run game. Obviously, the NFL, you know, it's been talked about as a passing league, but it's always cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, there have been years where big receivers were the thing, then there was small receivers. And then, you know, it always goes in cycles. The Patriots had Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, and they went with the double tight end thing and forced people to defend the possible run possibilities with the two tight ends on the field. Then they went and threw the ball on them. So there's always going to be this cyclical effect going on. And now with the – I think it's less to do with the defensive coordinators and the X's and O's of the defense – and more to do with the lack of padded work during training camp. To defend the run, you got to get your run fits. You got to do physical 9-on-7 practice, and you got to work on your run fits. And coaches are so afraid of guys getting hurt now, they don't focus on that the way that they used to. And the way college football is played and the way they practice, these guys come into the NFL with a lesser ability to defend the run just because of the changes in college football. But also the NFL schedule, the NFL rules, the OTAs, the CBA, all those kind of things don't allow these guys, the individuals, to become great run defenders. So that's why we've seen offenses turn more to this, because they're recognizing that deficiency on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Football is cyclical, and the run game is now back in vogue, seeing the teams that are undefeated right now run the ball pretty well. He is Chad Brown, former two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, played 15 years in the NFL and college football analyst. Chad, we appreciate the time, as always. Be well.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you.
It's a lot of what we were talking about in the first hour. these teams that run the ball have a big advantage, and we're seeing it so far through 3 weeks in the NFL season. We'll go back to college football and take a look at the futures market, as well as some other marquee matchups here on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.